Amen. Please be seated.
You've often heard it said, I guess, you want the bad news or the good news. Well, I guess the bad news is being invited or knowing that there's a funeral. Hardly the type of, or the occasion that we might want to attend. There's also lots of bad news, isn't there, in the news today. Too much, in fact. And we might well rather be somewhere else other than here. Paul, you will recall from the reading, was pretty emphatic about the state of the human condition. And our news only gives us an amazing, you know, a very relevant example of why that is. We are prisoners of sin. We're done for. We're subject to death, all of us. It's the end. Finito. And then Paul reflects on the battle that goes on within our souls. The battle for good. The good versus evil. The battle for justice. For doing what's right. For knowing what's right. But sometimes doing what's wrong. Too often we find that we do the opposite of what we want to do. Too often the things that we should do, we don't do. And Paul even suggests that there is a law at work, and one that wages war against all that we know to be good and honest and true. And those people who are spiritual understand that that is the battle that they are in. If you are not spiritual, if you don't have a faith, some of these things pass us by. It's too easy to drift along. But the person who is spiritual, the person who understands something at least of God and all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, they begin to understand these laws at work. We are in need of rescue. And if you have ever been in need of being rescued, you will understand what that is. A few days ago, one of our daughters and her husband and young baby were travelling home from Lancashire, and their car broke down less than 10 miles from the start of their journey. They were on the edge of the motorway. And they rang the AA, and they came and said, oh, there's a big problem. And fortunately, our daughter, who lives in Lancashire, our other daughter, went and picked them up and brought Rebecca and the baby, baby Joel, back to their home. Tim, the husband, stayed with the vehicle for another 3 hours, waiting for to be rescued, and eventually got towed to a garage. The cost is about £2,000 for repair. The rescue, of course, happened because there was someone nearby who could take them, and then I was able to go up the next day and take them back to Northampton. But being rescued, yes, is that's what we need, isn't it? And knowing that is part of the good news, but the good news is that Paul knew who his rescuer was. He knew it was Jesus Christ. And he said, thanks be to God who delivers me, who rescues me through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the good news doesn't stop there either. You see, I understand that John liked to explore certain themes within the scriptures, right? And one of those is the word therefore. Now, It's amazing, really. It's an inconsequential word, isn't it? Therefore. But it occurs nearly 100 times in Paul's letters. And it's one of those words that seem to have a particular appeal for the Apostle Paul. It's like a springboard into something valuable and important. And in this case, it's followed by the words that we've just sung, in fact. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to explain why. In Christ Jesus, that simple phrase means acknowledging him as Saviour and Lord, and admitting to him our sinfulness. Now, that's not always easy, but anything that is worthwhile is not usually easy. Yesterday was Ash Wednesday, a time in many churches where people go and reflect, take time just to be and sit in the presence of God and understand that they haven't got everything right in life. And sometimes some churches will mark on the forehead or on a palm of a hand the cross in oil and ash as a way of marking the occasion. But it's essentially a time of reflection, a time of repentance. And repentance in the Bible doesn't mean that we're bowed down with guilt. It means turning around. It means facing God. It means valuing his refreshment in our lives. And that's why it can happen not just once, but many times, even perhaps on a daily basis. People of faith are not special people, but they are people who have recognized their need of a rescuer. And having recognized such need, have put their trust in that same person, in that rescuer, in Jesus Christ. Jesus took the sins upon himself of the world, the sins of the world upon himself at Calvary. We will be celebrating that in a few weeks' time, of course, at Easter. But the best part of the Easter story comes on the Sunday, when he rose again. He defeated death. Death is defeated for the believer. Do we believe that? I know there are many people here who are people of faith, but I suspect not everyone. But it is so important, friends. John would have wanted us to emphasize that so much. Because Jesus, after the Easter story, after that resurrection day, could be heard to speak. People could hear him. People could touch him, and he touched others. He ate with them. He did all the things that he had been doing. The resurrection life is real. Life doesn't end here. Yes, it does for on this earth, but life goes on. And you've heard David and Robert share the hope there too. The Holy Spirit, of course, is Jesus in spirit form, who helps us to live according to God's design. It's that same Holy Spirit who energized John, who gave him the focus he had, who gave him the interest in the scriptures that he had, and who helped him to understand the depth of God's rescue plan for him. And I can't put it any better at all than Paul when he said, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies." And elsewhere, he also said that the mortal is clothed with the immortal. There is hope, my friends, beyond death for us all. Our reading ended there. But interestingly, had we read on, the very next word is therefore. That's right. And Paul goes on to say that if we live by the Spirit, we will live. We will live gloriously. We will live a full life. He says in John chapter 10 and verse 10 that Jesus himself came to bring fullness of life. I have come that you might live life to the full, is another way of putting it. For those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. No longer slaves to sin. No longer slaves to the ways we can't control. But children of the life giver. And he goes on to explain on a number of occasions that in Christ we are adopted into his family. That we inherit eternal life. That we can be led in this life by God's Spirit. And that we can even hear or sense God speaking to us. That's amazing. John knew that for himself. I hope you do too. There is more to life than simply living out an earthly existence, drifting along. Life needs to be intentional. And we need to have that intention if we are to follow Christ. Many people have discovered that here, but some may not. And John would want you to, if you don't know him already. Death does not have the last word, it need not. And that is the good news, my friends. Now, we come to the stage in our service where we are going to commit John's body to the elements. And this is the way it's going to happen here today is like this. I will come down in a minute and share words of commendation and committal. And then the coffin will be taken out, followed by the family. But please remain here afterwards, because the family are going to return, and we will complete the service after that. And before I share the words of committal, I want to give to Maureen and to David and your family some simple cards, words to Paul and Peter and to other members of the family. Some simple words, because in recognition of what we have just shared, these are words of St. Peter. And he says this: keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before the generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, into whose hands Jesus Christ commended his spirit in his last hour, we come to you. And into those same hands, we now commit your servant, John, Amen. To your safety, security, and eternal life, that death may be for him the gate to life and eternal fellowship with Jesus. And so, as God, our eternal Father, has promoted our brother, John Linford Cates, to the home prepared for him in heaven, we now commit his body to the elements, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. In the certainty of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Again, may I say that as the coffin is removed, please remain seated, other than the family. The band will play, and there will be a video montage of pictures that have been put together of John's life.
Thank you.
That's a lovely collection of pictures, Robert. Thank you so much for sharing those and putting them together. And we've been thanking God for John this afternoon, but it wouldn't be right not to acknowledge his lovely family and the support that I know that they have been to him in good times and in times that haven't been so good and have been difficult in later months. So we salute you too, Maureen, David, Robert, Miriam, and the children, and the wider family. So thank you for all you are. Thank you for your own faith, and for the manner in which you wanted this service to be put together. I was going to say right at the beginning, but I think I'll say it now. If you are an officer leading a funeral service, it's not the times that you look forward to most. They can be very difficult. We are fairly frequently asked to do funerals for people we've never met, people we've never known, families we've never known. In fact, Diane is doing one in a couple of weeks' time up in Sheffield. A call came out of the blue, and that was like the last one I led. They are not easy. But this one was different. And I want you to know that. It really was a privilege to be asked. So thank you so much. And I just hope that the people who are here, the band who have played so magnificently, all those who have supported you would have done John proud, and you proud too. There will be opportunity, as Robert did say earlier, for you to write on those cards your special thoughts, your thoughts about John and what he might have meant to you. Then there will be a place in the hall out there for you to put those. And the family can then look at them in their own good time and reflect on your appreciation for John. But now, it's time to sing. You don't mind singing again, do you? And people have been clapping already. You are allowed to clap. You're allowed to raise your hands in wonder and praise. You're allowed to, if you wanted to, dance. I don't think John ever liked dancing, did he? No, a bit like me, two left feet. But anyway, if you want to express your joy and thankfulness to God for John's life, then please do in your own special way. O God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. And this, of course, is the fire of the Holy Spirit that we spoke about earlier. We all need his fire in our lives if we are to live life well. Thank you, Van. Let's stand together to sing.
Thank you.
have some final, just a final prayer. Father, just before we offer your blessing upon this congregation, we would ask that your Spirit's presence will be with Maureen, with David, David and Miriam and the family, with Robert, and the extended family too. That they will know his comfort, that they will know his peace, and that they will know his strength in the days to come. Lord, be that ever-present person in their lives that they can turn to in those moments of sadness and grief. But also, Lord, in those moments of thanksgiving and reflection. Lord, you come to us in those special times. And we don't know how you do it, but you do. And you do it in such a way that we can be sure that it is your presence with us, giving us the grace and peace we need. Gracious God, you have given us much today. You give us much every day. Help us to be a thankful people. Help us to commend ourselves to you. And we commend Maureen and the family to you. Stay with us. And when we take our rest, renew us for the service of your Son, Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you. Amen. Amen. While the family move out to the lounge, the band will play. And then you are free to join them afterwards for a time together and to share with the family. Thank you.